Well, good morning, everyone. It's the Ken Braverman podcast. It's Monday, July. That would be June. It's not July 4th. It's June 4th. That's what happens when you trust your eyes too much. It's 9 o'clock a.m. on the button, East Coast time, June 4th, 2018. As I said, it's a Ken Braverman podcast. And I'm at a high elevation right now. I'm on Skyline Drive, AKA the Blue Ridge Parkway, I think, or Blue Ridge Expressway, Blue Ridge something. It's a road you had to pay $30 to get on, and I'm on it. There's an airplane I can hear out there. Maybe you can hear too. I'm sitting in an overlook, and the car decided not to drive and pod, but actually just pod, because there's so many things that have happened in the last like 48 hours or more since I podded that I just had to stop and enjoy the view I'm looking at. Some really gorgeous farmland. Maybe I'll take a picture. It's a biker going by right now. It's beautiful. Anyway, I saw a sunrise above the clouds today. So I wanted to talk about something and it'll play into where I was this morning. Saturday night. That was not yesterday, even though I haven't slept much. Saturday night, the Washington Capitals played a home game and they beat the Vegas Golden Knights. Maybe you watched it. Final score was 3-1. They played great. They hustled. They blocked shots. We had amazing things happen to a Washington team that do not normally happen to the Capitals. Things like shots going off the post, not going in on Holtby. Vegas players getting one-time opportunities, you know, to snipe and missing the puck, puck bouncing over their stick, or just everything going right for us. Even Holtby throwing away the puck and costing us a goal, and it doesn't cost us the game. It's been that kind of season, and we're only two wins away. And I watched the game with some lifelong Capitals fans that I've known for a long time, since we both played hockey in high school, and it was nice to watch it with. See, there are no fair weather Caps fans popping up in my Facebook feed anywhere. It is all lifelong people you know, and you have suffered with those from the DMV, from the DC, Maryland, Virginia. We remember when the Caps used to play at the potato chip. Okay? We're talking old school fans. There's no hiding who you are. And so as we are now the second time in the franchise history, the first time in like 24 years or something, 43 years of existence, and we won our first two Stanley Cup final games, two away, and it's cause for the entire nation's capital to unite. So watch that game. Watch our team win against an excellent Vegas team who also has now beginner's luck, and nobody's out of this thing yet. It's unbelievable. Anyway, so I'm pumped up about the Caps, and I'm also pumped up about going to different places all the time, popping up at sunrise someplace, some beach somewhere, or a mountain. Who knows where I'm going to be? I'm like the Where's Waldo of Facebook check-ins. And I got the idea to go to the Natural Bridge in Virginia here off of the it was all these mountains and crazy formations and everything. So I wanted to go catch a sunrise at the Natural Bridge. The problem is they don't open till 8 o'clock. So I didn't let that stop me. And I decided I was going to go there. I didn't know where it was. I ended up driving into a couple people's driveway and almost getting shot. And that's not true. I didn't almost get shot. Nobody came out of their house. But at 6:30 in the morning, I was circling around what I thought was the way to Natural Bridge. And it ended up being some serious redneck driveways. Now, I eventually did find where to go. And God bless America. God bless America. Freedom! Freedom! I went, the doors were open, even though that place is closed and doesn't open till 8. And I walked right into Natural Bridge, and I brought my ice skates with me, and I put my ice skates on and put my feet up on the benches while watching gorgeous weather, the sunrise kind of coming. You can't really see the sun from where Natural Bridge is. I guess maybe later in the day it would pop up in there. But I took a breather, relaxed, and enjoyed it, and said there are two games left to win. how are we going to unite? How are we going to do it? I kind of want game seven, actually. This is the problem. I think the Caps might not win tonight. I call it blasphemous. After everything I said and being a lifelong fan, why do I not want the Caps to win tonight? Of course, I kind of want them to, but I want this thing going seven. I can't explain it. I feel like it's going to go seven and we're going to get there. And I feel like it's going to go 2-2, 3-2. It's tough to keep the super high intensity and blocking shots and having people like Kuznetsov. Kuzi scored arguably the biggest goal in that game three and sniped it off the post and in with what I thought was a broken wrist after watching him in game two. Unbelievable what's happening with the Caps. So anyway, it's going to be a great game tonight, even though I'm wishing for a game seven. I just want more hockey. I'm like Christopher Walken in that old Blue Oyster Cult Saturday Night Live sketch. More cowbell. More hockey. I want game seven. I just want a game seven. More hockey. I want the Caps to win, of course. But man, can you imagine a rubber match game seven? I might even be in Vegas when that game seven would happen. Oh my goodness. Anyway. All right. So took a picture down at Natural Bridge. That's fun. That's one for the record books. Snuck out of there. Didn't get busted for sneaking in when they're closed. You have to buy tickets and everything. I love going to these places at ass crack of dawn or the middle of the night when absolutely nobody is there. Not a sight. Not a soul in sight. I love that. It's great. By the way, that Natural Bridge, what a gorgeous place. There's nothing but waterfalls in two different directions walking down into it. And then if you want to walk up to the top, I didn't even go all the way up to the top to walk on top of it because I was scared that you might have some government employees showing up an hour early and busting me. So there was the threat of trespassing on a national park or state park. And I didn't want to get busted. So I kind of, you know, I was going to podcast there. I'm like, nah, I can't, I am scared. And so I was just enjoying it enough. And then, you know, did what I wanted. If I got busted for trespassing, I would show them the picture of me with my hockey skates on saying, listen, I've been a lifelong Caps fan and we all need to do special things to pull for the Caps. So if you want to write me up, go ahead, sir. All right. Now, so that stuff. So we're up, we're heading to the DMV. We are heading to the DMV and getting back into reality, right? Solving problems. The weather's getting nicer. Vegetables are in bloom. I had a fantastic salad in Raleigh, North Carolina. I love places that are like kind of, I always want the off the beaten path local one where they do something special instead of your standard. You know, I'll do your Starbucks, I'll do your McDonald's when I have to, but I'd always like to find something new. So I found the Carolina Cafe in Raleigh when I just pulled over, you know, got lucky. And there was a directory and there was a Starbucks in the Carolina Cafe right next to it. I'm like, of course I'm going to the Carolina Cafe. I walked in there. I got a breakfast, you know, coffee and a salad. The salad had, of course, pecans, your cranberries, your lettuce, the strawberries were fresh inside of it. Had like a feta cheese covered with brown sugar glaze or something. I don't know what they did, but it was perfect picking that thing, driving the rest of the way out to Western North Carolina. And man, it's great when stuff like that happens, when you don't have the standard junk that's canned and rotting, but you have awesome fresh food in a concoction that you don't normally have. Well, it's so great. Been a nice trip home. So solving problems. So we have a lot of problems to solve all the time. I think we're going to get back to solving problems. I was listening to Justin Trudeau, the Canada Prime Minister. Of course, you have to speak both French and English to be the Prime Minister of Canada because they're Quebec and they're Quebecois. They are so many. And he was speaking about the tariffs that the president decided to unilaterally exercise on our allies, not China or Russia, but on EU and Canada for steel and aluminum. And I haven't been paying too much attention to it because I've been enjoying life at Natural Bridge and so on and so forth, right? But, you know, those things still happen and it's going to raise price stuff. It's a bad thing. But Justin Trudeau came out and he said, something to the effect of, we believe that in the future, that common sense will prevail, even though we see no sign of that currently. Something to that effect, in a much more appropriate accent. And I liked to hear that because I agree with that. I agree with that completely, which is, we will have to stand up to the Trump doing this thing by a dollar for dollar tariff against you as well. But we know that in the future, this man, Trump, will not be dictator of the United States. We're turning Armenian here or something, but he will not be leading America in the future. In the future, rational minds will prevail. Will prevail. And I think they will. I don't think that the president's lawyers can write a defense saying the president can do no wrong and is the end all to be all of power. And everything he does cannot obstruct, and everything he does cannot be a crime. If the president, it's not a crime. Those words are never true. People are people. And I do think that rational problem solvers will prevail. So I agree with Justin Trudeau. And I'll stay away from the rest of that. Because there's no need to be angry with politics. We're going to let people do their jobs. Just remember that if anyone says that the FBI and the Department of Justice aren't doing their jobs, it would only be because Trump fired all of them and tried to put in his own rats. That'd be the only way that statement would be true. So, what else is going on for the next few minutes? God, it's gorgeous up here. I'm probably a mile up. I took a sunrise over the clouds. What else have I done? Where have I been? I saw a truck I used to have that has 260,000 miles on it or something. Good for that. Go Ford Ranger. They don't build them like they used to. That truck was purchased in the 90s. I threw a little Easter egg picture on Facebook of that picture, and then my rental car got pooped on by a bird, really. Just square down the middle of the back mirror, and then, you know, just skimmed, slid down, leaving a trail all the way right to where the trunk is. I thought, if birds aim. You know that doesn't happen by accident. I mean, think about it. If you're airborne and you poop for a living, you get really good at it. It's kind of like if you're a guy and you urinate, a lot of times you'll try to like spit in your stream of urine and hit it. It's the same idea, I think, if you're a bird. totally believe that. So good for you, bird. Oh yeah. This is a funny thing. I wanted to record about this before effort happened. Now I remembered. Great. Now, what I thought was, if this had upset me so much that this bird had done this, what I could do is, I was like, do I want to, because you can't really clean off this bird crap off the back with your hand. It's too much. It would need to wet it. It's been there. I've been through rain and through clouds. It's still healthily there now, hours and states later. I was thinking, what if I grab a sample of this and run a genome sequence on it? And then somehow, in the future, when we have genome sequences on everything and you can kind of look them up in a database, I can find the relatives of this bird and hold them hostage for what their granddaddy did to my car back in 2018. That's a potential future you could have. I was thinking that's kind of funny. If you held a grudge against a bird, you could do something. Or maybe what you'd be able to do is you'd be able to find a family of that specific genome of bird if you did it right. And got the proper, I don't know how you get an actual DNA and not something that the bird ate in the poop. I don't know. I'm really going down a path that was just a joke, but it just made me laugh that was something I could do if I wanted to find. I was like, by the time I ran the genome sequence and figured this out and we had a way to trace flocks of birds, I mean, that bird could be flying to Iceland by now. Who knows where that bird is? But it's funny because in the future, we might be able to do something like that, certainly with people. If you look at what happened with the Golden State Killer case, something that we can all kind of extrapolate and see how this works. When you ever get DNA from anything, no matter how old it is within reason. I mean, you can't go back millions of years, it deteriorates, but within our lifetimes, you know, or within 100 years, you get some DNA, a good sample, you can trace a family history of that DNA and an association of that DNA, and you can start investigating and start really finding unique alleles or unique markers within that genome that really specify certain types of rare things, and find families and find solutions to old problems. And that's going to expand more than just even people. It's going to be a way of looking up everything. It's kind of interesting. If you think about how you have Match.com or your, not Tinder, but like, you know, eHarmony or something where they're supposed to be doing a more complex, not just base sexual match, but more of a match with your emotions and genetics too, right? I'm thinking, what if you have a genetic match service as well? So, you know, they have the testing for potential negative consequences when you have a genome. If you have a lot of the same genes, sometimes that's not good because you want to have a child potentially get like the opportunity to have a better gene from a chromosome rather than one that may have a mutation on or something. There are ways that when the part of your genes that contribute to your child, it's good to have a nice heterogeneous mixture because it gives the opportunity for different genes to be utilized. Anyway, so that's why inbreeding is bad, for example. You don't want same old, same old, same old. Then all the mutations always end up going through, right? And so it made me think, well, as we evolve these genetic databases, because I think they're going to be healthy for all of us for maintaining our health, maintaining our longevity and perpetual health, that we will also be able to find genetic matches. People be like, oh, you want a kid that is not probably going to have multiple sclerosis or what's the one with the lung? Cystic fibrosis, right? That's it. That's a genetic mutation. One, a real easy one to fix, actually. Now, if they don't fix it with a CRISPR technology, and you just want to make sure your kid doesn't have it, then maybe you could search somebody on this new genetic match, you know, website or service, and you would see that this other person doesn't have that mutation. So that'd be a good person for you to procreate with. I don't know. That sounds like a good way to end this podcast. Good people to procreate with. I'm still enjoying the view, and I'm going to get back on Skyline Drive. Best $30 I've paid this morning. And that includes sneaking into a state park to take a picture with some hockey skates on. Ken Braverman's out, and go Cavs, even though I kind of want them to lose tonight. I know that's blasphemous. I apologize. Ken Braverman's out.